Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, who is on the road, will spend some time with us. The infinite football wisdom of Chris. What's up, sir?
Bill, how are you, man? I don't know, just living the dream, I guess.
Where are you on the road at?
Well, I was at Alabama on, what is today, Thursday? Is Alabama on Tuesday, Ohio State yesterday. I've got Missouri today, going to watch Drew Lock work, and then back home. So, you know, we got I'm going to try to sneak in North Carolina Charlotte. She's a really good offensive guard that I think is going to be really good value, probably about third, fourth round. Really good player that I didn't see in person this year, but looked at him on film a little bit. So he'll be somebody's name to remember, Nate Davis, if people are so inclined to be interested in stuff like that. We got him actually on the initial horizontal draft board that I put out yesterday. So, yeah, just making the rounds a little bit. I know we talked. I don't go to many of them, but there are a few that needed to. And got a call to ask him at present at the Alabama Pro Day. So I hopped on out there and then, as I said, needed to go to Ohio State to look at Dwayne Haskins yesterday.
All right, I got a lot of questions about that, but I've got a lot of them. I've got a lot of them stacked up here from the audience on Twitter.
I'll try to be quick.
No worries, man.
Which is a challenge for me.
I hear you. No worries. Here's a question. Chris, down in Georgia, actually sent this days in advance. He said Thursday when Chris Landry is on, ask him about the Nick Saban, Kirby Smart relationship, because most people say there is none. It's contentious, but some Georgia fans are defensive and say, no, that's not true. But, Chris, it's my understanding those guys aren't buddies anymore.
No, there's a competitive line in the sand that have been drawn, and I think that, you know, when Kirby left, he did some things you know, from a competitive standpoint that may have been considered, you know, can debate it. It might have been over the line that that probably Nick didn't appreciate. Not going to take sides in it, but I'll just say this, that, you know, the ones that get the most contentious, in my experience, are the ones that where people are really close and work together, and then it becomes really competitive. But, no, that relationship is not the best. I think that in time, when they, you know, when Nick retires, that you know, they'll remember the good times. But right now, it's too competitive to be anything but contentious, I can tell you.
Bob in Aliquippa, Pittsburgh, called earlier, and he said you wrote a piece, and he said he read it a couple times. It was so good. On your site about how you go about evaluating quarterbacks, and he wanted you to kind of wordsmith that for the audience a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that one. I love that question. We're putting up the draft boards and doing it by position. So we actually do this with every position, not just quarterbacks. So we got the quarterbacks one, we got the running back ones, we have the fullbacks, receivers up hopefully today. I get some time to do it. But here's what I do. Before I put up the draft boards, I explain the evaluation criteria, the critical factors, and the position specifics for each position. So I won't obviously go over everything. The criteria, everybody can get it for free, and, of course, we'd love it if folks join and get the draft board. But it tells you the types of quarterbacks, what we're looking for in detail. Then we look at the average NFL traits, the target numbers for all the times and the agilities, the drop set times. You know, at 3 yards, you know, how quick do you get into your drop and your release times, the target numbers there. Then we go into the critical factors, and we rank them in order: mental awareness, competitiveness, accuracy, release type, and quickness, arm strength, body size and strength, production. And then we get into speed, athletic ability, ball mechanics, setup quickness, avoid skills and scrambling abilities. So we describe what all of those things are. But we put them in order, and the reason why you do that, you put the critical factors in order for each position, is if you have two players with 6'5 grades, it's the same grade, then what you do is you take those critical factors and you multiply them. If you've got 12 critical factors, you take the first one, multiply the grade you give, which you give a grade based upon a grading criteria, which is, you know, we don't just say this guy's got really good, you know, arm strength. You've got to describe it. Does he have 7-0 arm strength, which is outstanding? 6-9, which is great. 6-5, very good. 6-4, good. 6-4, above average. 5-9, slightly above average. 5-5, average, so on and so forth. You take the numbers, you multiply it by the critical factor, and what you do is that helps you separate one player from another. So you, if they've got the same overall grade, you want to look at the critical factors, which are the most important things, and determine what is the highest grade and the most important critical factors. For a receiver, while blocking is important, it's not as important as hands or quickness. So you don't want to make sure that you take one receiver over another for a critical factor that's maybe ninth or tenth on the list as opposed to second or third. So we go into painstaking detail to describe that, which is kind of why we think we're a little bit different in trying to provide some of this stuff. So, yeah, I appreciate Bob mentioning that. It's a we think it's a really great read, and for everybody, we've got it at every position. So I think it should be fun for everyone.
Eric up in Indianapolis says, ask Chris Landry his thoughts on what appears to be this new era of college football free agency. Tate Martell allowed to transfer unfettered, Chris, basically based on unhappiness with the depth chart.
Well, let's look at it a couple of ways. From a player, player's not happy. You've heard me say this before to you, Bill, but for Eric, Eric, to me, I think there should be a little bit more stringent rules about that, because I think what we're doing today, and I'm old school, so I'm going to give my get off my lawn speech here, but I think anytime a kid maybe loses a job, we're encouraging to, instead of to compete, stay committed to something, to go somewhere else. It's a byproduct of how recruiting is today, how we're selling these kids as you're the greatest ever, and then we're having to say, sorry, you lost your job to this guy. This guy's a little bit better than you are. And then so the result is, well, I'm going to go somewhere else because they wanted me. I understand getting the opportunity to move on, and I think there should be a freedom within reason. A kid wants to move closer to home. There's a sickness in his family. There's extenuating circumstances. But I think that we make it a little bit too easy. From a school standpoint, it is just what Eric said, college free agency. It gives you another chance at the bite at the apple. You don't recruit or evaluate very well at one position. You can go and sign somebody else's players. Not only are kids leaving, but Bill, I know you've talked about this, I'm sure. Schools are recruiting other schools' players. They're getting go-betweens as well as, you know, calls to family members. Hey, tell Bill, look, you know, you're on the bench there. You know, they're recruiting this guy. You've got one guy ahead of them. We got a spot for you right now. And, you know, so that's basically legitimate. Overt and subvert recruiting is going on. And it is free agency. That's exactly what it is. It's college free agency. And, look, I mean, you can make of it what you want. It gives you a chance. I mean, look at LSU. Joe Burrow is the best quarterback that they have. They haven't recruited or developed a quarterback there in ages. They go and sign and, get one to transfer. A lot of schools are doing that now, and I until the rule changes, if it does, this is going to continue to be the case. It happens at all positions, as you well know, but quarterback is the most obvious because you pretty much only play one quarterback, and that's the most positioned where kids are recruited and are told how great they are probably more than any other position. So there's a bigger ego factor there.
One more before the break. Can you stay after a little bit, Chris?
Absolutely.
Okay. I got one more here before the break. Soul Street Coffee says, for a couple of decades now, it seems like the safest position in the draft was the offensive line. He says, how has the quick snap offenses impacted scouting this group? Also, who are the top offensive linemen?
Well, it's affected it. The spread systems don't just affect the quarterbacks and how we evaluate them. It affects the running backs. They're not, their first step's not downhill. It affects receivers. They only know about two routes on the route tree. And they do affect offensive line. But it's not so much the quick snap as much as all the two-point stances. Guys don't get in three-point stances. The most unnatural thing athletically for these guys to do is to get into a three-point stance, pass set. You know, in the old days, guys worked off a three-point stance, and they were much more effective as run blockers, but they were ineffective as pass blockers. Today, they're not that effective as run blockers either, because so many of them are in two-point stance, and you do have the quick step game that allows you not basically, we call it just get in the way. You don't have to really block guys as much. The ball comes out so quick, all the tunnel screens and whatnot. It is a big adjustment. What you have to look for is traits. And again, on the critical factors, when we have the offensive linemen, which again will be coming out soon on that, you're going to see the traits that we look for. You don't look for polish, you look for the traits. The ability to be an ankle bender and a knee bender is really important athletically. Does a guy have the capacity, willingness to learn, the toughness? But you have to teach that. You have to teach working in a three-point stance. I think in some cases, some guys are a little bit better as pass protectors. They're a little bit more athletic because colleges implement more of that type of athlete. But it is difficult, and it takes some development and time. But it is definitely an adjustment from the old days.
Chris, we will take the break. We'll let everybody know absolutely how they can get all of his information as well. I'm going to ask him about some of these pro days that he has attended next. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show is there to break it down.
Presented by the Omni. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com with us. Let me begin with Alabama's pro day, Chris. We know what Quinnen Williams can do. If you want to comment on him, if you feel it necessary, be my guest. But who else looked good? Who stood out to you?
You know, they all did a good job. And by the way, I forgot to answer this on the last question, the top offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is from Alabama, Jonah Williams. I like Andre Dillard out of Washington State. I like Juwan Taylor out of Florida. Garrett Bradbury is the center from North Carolina State. Cody Ford of Oklahoma. Dalton Risner of Kansas State. Kayla McCrary of Washington. Eric McCoy of Texas A&M. And remember this name, folks. Titus Howard out of Alabama State, who I think has a chance to be developed. He's got all the natural skills. I think that all the guys that worked out did well. I was thinking about this. Jonah may be the first offensive lineman taken. Josh Jacobs is going to be the first running back taken. Quinnen Williams is going to be the first defensive tackle taken. I thought they all did a good job. I thought the linebackers did a good job and you know, dropping and turning, which is really important in some of the workouts. Because when you ask them to do some of those things in drills, it gives you a little bit of a different perspective to marry up with the tape. But they're loaded again. I mean, I think Isaiah Bugs is a very underrated player. Irv Smith, I think, has a chance to be a good player. Love the Iowa tight ends. They got two that are really, really good. I think both are keep doing the first round. Hawkinson's a little bit better in line. Fant's outstanding as well. But I thought Christian Miller did a nice job. You know, Savion Smith didn't run as well as I had hoped. But I think all of them did a pretty good job. They got a lot of players, particularly in the defensive side, But, you know, you got a couple of backs that are going to get drafted. It's a pretty good group again, Bill.
What's it like? Now, you were in Cleveland, but what's it like with Belichick there, Saban? There was all those tweets. There was one tweet. They have to always put this one out where it's Butch Jones standing with those two. But what's it like when Belichick comes into town, to Alabama in particular?
That's kind of why I wasn't planning on going, but that's kind of why I went when when Bill calls. I usually have to answer that one.
Right.
Well, first of all, they had like 8 or 9 general managers. It's obviously with all the talent. The biggest thing to remember on pro days is it gives an opportunity for the pro coaches to go and visit with the players. Like they'll have. You might have dinner with them the night before. You know, you'll spend an hour or two with them. And then you see the pro coaches have friends on the Alabama coaching staff or any coaching staff on any of these pro days. And you get to spend a lot of time with them. So, you know, like in the fall, you don't have a date. They don't have an hour to spend with you talking about a player. They're getting ready for their game this week.
Right.
But in the spring, you got a lot of time to do that. And so you can look at film with them. You look at practice film. There's a lot of things you do. You know, it was – Alabama's is very well organized. Most of them are because they do this so often. Ohio State, a lot of the programs are that way where it's very well organized. And obviously Bill and Nick always have a they have a unique and close relationship, and they usually kind of go off and talk about God knows what. Usually a lot of times, you know, it's personal stuff, you know, just family stuff. But they'll get into here's what it really comes down to mostly. It's something about coverages. Almost inevitably, those guys will go to the best technique to defend the bunch set in the red zone or something. I mean, you know, maybe it's, you know, what stunt is working a little bit better or what he'd had problems with. So it's usually something like that. They're both always working. Belichick is, when he goes to a pro day, he will get with those defensive linemen, a lot of defensive players, but he'll get those defensive linemen and he'll run drills and kind of everybody just kind of stands back and watches. And it's kind of, I mean, he'll be there with a wrinkled shirt, you know, a regular shirt, and he'll get in there and you know, he'll be working the punch and using the hands and, you know, and Bill's kind of built like a, you know, stocky built, you know, but
right.
He gets in there and works with those guys. It's interesting to watch, and I've been around with him a bunch. Of course, Nick and I went to many a pro days together when we worked together in Cleveland, and Nick tends to really want to. Well, we used to work out all the defensive backs together, so he's big on that.
What about the Buckeye pro day?
Well, good. The star was Dwayne Haskins. I like him a lot. You know, when you have the ability to throw the football accurately, and this guy does, you've got a real chance. He just doesn't have a lot of football in his background, doesn't have a lot of reps. And I think he has a chance to be really good. He's got decent feet, not great. He's going to be a good pocket passer. And it's just going to be interesting to see who's going to take him and how high. It's going to be high. He's going to go definitely in the first half of the first round. He had a good day. The rest of the guys did. You know, people question, well, why didn't Nick Bosa work out? Because he worked out at the combine. That's why we have him work out at the combine. You don't need to do anything. That's what we tell them. So good for him. But it was good. A lot of players, you know, got some good receivers that I think are really good. That's another group that just has a lot of talent each and every year.
Yeah, I heard a lot, and again, I wasn't there, but Terry McLaurin looked good, right?
Yeah, he did. I like him a lot. And in fact, writing up reports last night on him, I think he's a guy that has a chance to be a better player even at the next level. He's got a lot of ability. And once he learns, you know, a little bit more route running and better understanding of coverages, how to stem his routes, I think he has a chance to be pretty good.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get all of your information.
Well, LandryFootball.com is where you want to go. As we said, we've got the getting the draft boards up, got the horizontal draft board, which is the top overall players, regardless of position. Got those up. We do it a little differently. We tell you in each grade group how many players fit into each category, where the drop-off is, and what they mean. So that's a great look there. And then we've got the quarterbacks and running backs up, and as I mentioned, we'll be getting them all up here, you know, shortly in the next several days. Well, we give those critical factors for each position. We tell you who the best players are. Now, I explain this as well. This is a general overview board. Folks, they're 32 different-looking NFL boards because everybody, their critical factors may alter a little bit based upon what they like. Some guys like a little bigger corners. Some guys are okay with guys as long as they're not that big, if they're really quick. So this is not a one-size-fits-all, but it gives you a really good indicator of who the best players are in the draft and where the values are. So this is where you really get to know where the depth is, where the thinness of the certain positions are. So that's what we got. We've got constant draft notebooks every day, NFL notebooks with the latest free agent news, college football notebooks. Yes, we're following spring practice and getting notes about who's doing what there. Recruiting notebooks where what's going on class of 2020 and even 2021. Got some interesting notes in yesterday's notebook. So it's one-stop shopping football. This time of year, it's about the personnel side. It's about getting your rosters better at all levels, college, at the NFL level. During the season, obviously, we're focusing on the games and whatnot. So it's one-stop shopping football. If you love football, you'll love LandryFootball.com because we take you inside the film room. We've got a scouting season saving special where it's 60% off. So a great time to get involved. We think you absolutely love it. Got our podcast that you can catch, the two different ones. One that I do that's a combination of pro and college football and Rush the Field, which that is up on the website now. We go in detail on the Alabama Pro Day, and we in the offseason are taking kind of a state of the program looking back at the history of a lot of different programs. This week, it's LSU, and so that's always fun to look at this time of year. So follow me on Twitter, at Landry Football. We think you'll love it.
Good stuff, Chris. Safe travels.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Take care.